I want to talk to you about what it means to be anchored in hope. an anchor, as you know, is perhaps the most important piece of equipment on any boat. And once the captain arrives at the desired destination, he puts the anchor down so the boat won't drift and end up someplace he doesn't want it to be. And when the boat is anchored, it may move a little bit with the waves and the wind, but the captain, he can relax. He's not worried because he knows the anchor is secure. Now, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, a hope both sure and reliable because of Jesus." And really the gist of that verse is that Jesus is our anchor, and we need to be anchored to him by faith. And Jesus is our anchor because he was able to bring right relationship between God and men because of his atoning work on the cross. So what is going to keep your soul in the right place? You have to ask that, because there's so many competing influences in our world today that that shift our soul to the left, shift our soul to the right. What's going to keep you from drifting onto the rocks of doubt, discouragement, and fear? What's going to keep you focused on the vista of God's plan for your life and a glorious future? It's having your soul anchored to hope. No matter how big the difficulty or how long the wait, you know God is still on the throne and his plans for you are good. When you're anchored to this hope, nothing moves you. The winds, the waves, the storms may come, but your hope keeps you secure. Now, I want you to picture for a moment Jesus and the disciples in the Sea of Galilee. When the wind and the waves rose and the storm winds blew and they were afraid for their lives, it was Jesus who spoke calmness to the wind and the waves and calmed the hearts of those who were afraid. He gave them hope in the midst of the storm. You know, all of us go through losses, disappointments, and what happens is our emotions pull us towards discouragement, toward bitterness. But you know what? There's something that holds you back. You can't explain it, but the promises of God reassure you that everything is going to work out according to God's perfect plan. Your attitude is, "I may not see a way, but I know that God has a way." When you're anchored to hope, God orchestrates the events in your life to bring about your personal growth and his greater glory. Do you believe that? I've learned there's always something trying to get us to pull up our anchor, whether it's delays, disappointments, doubts, relationships that go by the wayside. Listen, when life doesn't seem fair and it seems your prayers aren't being answered, keep your anchor down and your hope secure. Some time ago, a friend asked me to crew on his sailboat. He needed the chief cook and bottle washer. I was his man. We enjoyed a couple of days of sailing with fair winds. On one particular night, we dropped anchor in what we perceived to be a well-sheltered harbor. But sometime in the middle of the night, the tide rose and the wind came up and the waves slammed against the boat. The captain, my friend, pounded vigorously on the door of my cabin and shouted, "Trav, get up, we're drifting." I jumped out of bed in a sweat and climbed the ladder to the top deck. I was shocked to see that we were less than 15 feet away from a large, jagged rock. Our anchor was dragging, and we were drifting towards certain danger. The captain fired up the motor, and I raised the anchor, and with only moments to spare, we pulled away from the menacing reef. We reset the anchor and weathered the storm. Listen, how many times have you found yourself drifting from what you know to be true, only to be engulfed by fear, resentment, and self-pity? We have an anchor for the soul, and his name is Jesus. My question today is, do you have your anchor down? Do you have this hope that God is for you and not against you? Do you have this hope that God is accomplishing his perfect work in you through your present circumstances? You know, that's really what the Christmas story is all about. It's God providing a way of hope, and that way of hope comes through a person. The scripture says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And the rest of that verse talks about how the saints of God obtained a testimony through faith. Well, the reason was is that faith brings about obedience in the life of the one who trusts. Faith not only gives us hope, but it promotes obedience in the life of the child of God. So faith is a substance of things hoped for. And David in the Old Testament was feeling discouraged. His life had become unraveled. At one point, King Saul wanted him dead. And later, his own son, Absalom, had turned against him and was threatening his life. David was overwhelmed with grief, with sorrow, and sadness, and fear. He had cathartic moments with God, and then he said to himself, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in the Lord." He recognized that he had let his circumstances convince him to pull up his anchor. David was saying, "I'm going to put my anchor back down in hope in the Lord." Don't put your hope in your circumstances. They may not turn out the way that you thought. And don't put your hope in people. They may let you down. Don't put your hope in your career. It can change. Put your hope in the Lord, in the God who spoke worlds into existence, in the God who flung stars into space. The scripture says, when you place your hope in him, you will never be disappointed. Sure, you may go through temporary setbacks. Disappointments will happen. But when it's all said and done, you'll come out better than you were before. Let me give you an illustration from the Old Testament. This is what Joseph did. He had plenty of opportunities to pull up his anchor. He was betrayed by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, falsely accused, and forgotten in prison. He could have been angry, resentful. "My whole family did me wrong," but he kept his anchor down. He had a good reason to be sour, and nobody would have faulted him. Through all the trouble, all the things that didn't make sense, he didn't pull up his anchor. His attitude was, "God, you have the final say. People don't determine my destiny. A series of bad breaks can't keep me from his purpose. All the forces of darkness cannot stop your plan for my life." Because he was anchored to hope, he didn't stay disappointed. He was vindicated, promoted, and put in charge of the whole nation. Like David, Joseph knew no matter how big the trial, how fierce the enemy, or how difficult the circumstances, if God is for you, who can be against you? That's hope. I remember a picture, a painting, and I'm not a connoisseur of fine arts, but this particular painting communicated something quite remarkable. It was a picture of a burned down log cabin. All of the cabin was charred and fallen to the ground, except a stone fireplace with the chimney still standing. And on the front porch of that burnt out log cabin was an old grandfatherly looking gentleman in his long johns. And next to him, cuddled by his side, was a small child holding in one hand a pair of coveralls and in his other hand a teddy bear. And the child is weeping softly against the thigh of his grandfather. And the caption underneath said, "Hush, hush, child, God ain't dead." And when we're facing these difficult circumstances, that's what we feel. We feel that God is either angry with us, or we feel that God is indifferent, or we feel that God is so far removed from our circumstances, and we lose hope. We pull up that anchor, and we lose that connection that brings us peace and joy and fullness in his spirit. I like what Zechariah said. If you're going to be a prisoner, don't be a prisoner to fear. Don't be a prisoner to doubt. Be a prisoner of hope. Keep your anchor down and keep your hope in the Lord. When you find yourself negative, worried, recognize what's happened. You've pulled your anchor up. The good news is you can put it back down. Instead of dwelling on those negative thoughts, "I'll never break the addiction. I'll never meet the right person. My health is never going to improve." Sometimes there's no logical reason to hold on to hope because the circumstances look so bleak. Turn it around. Thank God that he's already heard your prayer. And he is achieving a far better purpose in your life than you could have possibly imagined. He's promised to cause all things to work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And we know the good that God has in store for us. It isn't a fairy tale kind of good. The good that he speaks about in Romans 28 and 29 is the transformation of our lives into the image of Christ. Isn't that wonderful to know that God has tailor-made our circumstances? And if we can trust in him, and if we can have hope in him, that he is doing his marvelous work of sanctification. It says that in 1 Corinthians that we're being changed from glory unto glory, which means we're becoming more like Jesus. Well, I know we get discouraged sometimes because it's like watching grass grow. We'd like instant spirituality. We'd like to be like Jesus today and not tomorrow. But God is working a work in you because he's not limited by the natural. He's supernatural. You know, you look in the Old Testament, there's great examples of reasons for hope. And we're coming to the ultimate reason for hope at the end of this message. But stick with me. Let's look in retrospect. Abraham and Sarah were promised a child when they were quite old. And I mean, they were old. Sarah gave birth to a baby in her old age. Their promise came to pass. Now, it didn't happen overnight. They waited some 20 years. They had plenty of time to think, it's never going to happen. It's been too long. I'm too old. Now, if they had believed those lies, pulled up their anchor of hope, they would have drifted into doubt, discouragement, despair, and they would have never seen the promise come to pass. Are you drifting today, worried, negative, overwhelmed with discouragement? You know, sometimes we need that proverbial checkup from the neck up to eliminate stinking thinking and prevent hardening of the attitudes. In fact, they're going to put that on my gravestone, I think. So why don't you put your anchor back down, put your hope back in the Lord? You may have had some bad breaks like Joseph, but God never would have allowed it if he wasn't going to use it for your good. Some time ago, we took our family to Hawaii. The boys and myself were playing in the surf. We dove into the waves directly in front of our beach towels. After swimming and body surfing for a short while, we noticed we drifted a long ways from where we had left our towels. We were completely unaware that we were slowly drifting down the beach the entire time we were in the water. You know, this is what happens in our lives when we're not firmly anchored to hope. We can drift a long way from where we should be. You know, and soon negativity, anxiety, and doubt begins to take over. What's interesting is that it wasn't a big storm that caused us to drift. It wasn't a flood, wasn't a tornado or a hurricane that caused us to drift several hundred yards from where we entered the water. It was the normal movement of the ocean. If you don't keep your anchor down, the normal currents of life will pull you off course. When you're anchored to hope, you know God is fighting your battles. You know God is behind the scenes working out a testimony for his glory and your transformation. Remember, the forces that are for you are greater than the forces against you. Think about the Israelite people who were often tempted to drift from God's purpose and plan. They were constantly pulling up their anchor, and then they were complaining when they got themselves into difficult circumstances. You look at the Old Testament, you see that whole cycle of sin and rebellion and disobedience, and then God's chastening and judgment, and then restoration and return. You'll see that cycle played over and over again. That's just people raising and lowering their anchor. And it creates a lot of instability, a lot of heartache, and a lot of pain. Micah's prophecy includes these words of hope. Micah 7:7, we read from Micah earlier today. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Now, those words are particularly significant because the Old Testament saints knew of a promised Messiah, the Savior, who had been prophesied to come. And when he says he's watching in hope for the Lord, he's watching for the promised Messiah to come. Anybody who was a student of Old Testament knew that the Messiah was prophesied, more than 300 and some specific prophecies concerning the coming Savior. So he's watching in hope. And isn't it interesting, because they were looking forward to the coming of Christ, and we in this millennium, we look back to the Christ who came. But in a similar sense, we look forward to the Christ who is returning. And so we watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior, and my God will hear me. That's what Micah says. You see, their hope rested in the promise of a long-awaited Savior. In other words, their hope was anchored in the coming Messiah. Now, I want you to notice that when it talks about hope, in the Old Testament, when you find the word hope, it almost always characterized not simply as hope, but hope in the Lord. It was a phrase. It was linked together. Here's one example from Psalm 130, verse 7. We read, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. And then over in Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse 8 and 17, verse 13, Jeremiah, in both of those cases, calls God the hope of Israel. You see, God saw Micah watching in hope for the Lord, waiting for a Savior. God saw Israel's hope in the Lord and hope for full redemption. As the hope of Israel, God responded. How did God respond? By sending Jesus. By sending Jesus. So this is why in the introduction to his first letter to Timothy, Paul calls Jesus our hope. And he begins, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. See, to be anchored in hope means to trust in Jesus. Every other hope disappoints, right? Every other hope disappoints. But hope in the Lord does not. Did you know human hopes and dreams inevitably fade and ultimately disappoint? We've all been there. We know that by experience. Their hope was fulfilled on that night when Jesus was born. He was born love as love and full redemption. If you think about it, nothing and no one else could have fulfilled that hope. Hope was born that day in the manger. But Jesus was not the only hope for a people long ago and far away. In his letter to Titus, the Apostle Paul reminds us that Jesus is still our hope. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, we read, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. How many people? All people. The gospel is the most inclusive message to a world that is preoccupied with inclusivity. The message of God's grace is to all people, regardless of race, gender, religion. It's inclusive of all people. Now, this grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Only Jesus is the hope of the world, the one who can redeem us from our innate sinfulness and purify us for his purposes. That's what the text is saying. And this is how we prepare for Christmas and for Christ's return. Jesus himself is our hope, and it's he who prepares us. He works on the inside through his indwelling spirit, and he shapes us, he molds us, he fashions us for his own sovereign purpose. But here's what we need to understand. We need to cut loose the anchor that binds us to sin, negativity, bitterness, and unbelief, and hold on to the anchor of hope given freely in Jesus. Say to yourself, I'm done living bitter, depressed, no passion, and full of doubt. The scripture invites us. Over in 1 John 1:8, it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's where it begins. We have to cut that anchor that ties us to sin and negativity and unbelief and bitterness and resentment. That's an anchor we need to shed. Because if we're truly going to hang on to the anchor, which is Christ, then we need to let go of that. I remember when I was out fishing with my small 16-foot little runabout. And I had thrown an anchor over, and I wasn't catching any salmon, and I thought, well, I'll jig for cod. Well, the anchor went down all right, but it got hooked under debris, under a rock. And when I came to pull the anchor up, it wouldn't release. And I tried moving my boat in different directions, pulling from different directions, but it stayed hooked to that rock at the bottom of that ocean. And finally, in despair, I had to cut that rope and motor off. And that's what we need to do when it comes to the sin and the doubt and discouragement, the bitterness that can drag us down. We need to cut the rope and let go of that anchor in order that we can be anchored to the Lord. Well, the second thing I want to tell you is that we need to recognize that our hope is a living hope. It's not a dead hope, it's a living hope. And why is it called a living hope? Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Here's why it's a living hope. It's because Christ was raised from the grave. It's because Christ was seen by more than 500 people following that resurrection. It was the disciples who watched Christ ascend into heaven. That's why we have a living hope. And before Christ ascended in Acts chapter 1, he said, the angel said, listen, he will return in the same manner as you saw him go. It's a living hope. And we need to keep our eyes heavenward because Christ is returning and sooner than we may expect. Well, the third thing I want to mention is that the Father gives the hope. The Son secures the hope, and the Spirit confirms the hope. We're to live with hope. That's God's plan for you and me. We're not a people who have hope only in this world. We have hope in the world to come, and it's a living hope. It's a hope for real life, guaranteed and secured for us, because Jesus conquered death, not only for himself, but for all who trust him. That's why it's a living hope. And I want to mention, too, fourthly, that we need to rejoice that our hope produces joy and peace instead of doom and gloom. Romans 15:13 says this, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You get that message? The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It's in believing that we find the fullness of joy and peace, because we're anchored to hope. And he wants us to abound in hope, not just have a little bit of hope. Think about the things that you face every day, those little niggly things, whether it's an unexpected bill or a doctor's report or some friction with someone that you've had a longstanding relationship and they seem a little cold, a little distant. Those things kind of eat away at us. Or maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's feeling confined. And we feel so cut off from the rest of the world. Well, the Lord wants us to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that means we need to stay anchored to him and wait for him to manifest his purpose and plan in these present circumstances. When you have your trust in him, when you have your hope in him, it's the source of your truest, purest, and highest joy, because you know your God is a rock. Your God is unchangeable. Your God keeps his promises. And your God rules over everything, and no one can hinder his unfolding purpose and plan. All these things are components of our hope. Folks, let's stay anchored to this everlasting hope. Let's stay anchored to Jesus. Let's draw near to him during this Advent series. And let's rethink our faith commitment. And let's think, God, what is it that you want to do in my life in this present season? And as you're doing that, how can I reach out to others? How can I minister in simple ways, in loving ways, the way that you would do if you were here in this particular situation that I'm facing? Let's pray that way. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that hope is that golden cord that keeps us anchored to Jesus. And we ask today that whatever is causing us to drift away from the hope that secures, we pray that we'd identify that and that we'd acknowledge those areas of our life that are not submitted to your Lordship, those areas of life that are not under the guidance and influence of your Holy Spirit and submitted to the truth of your word. Lord, we want to acknowledge those places in our life today. Would you do inventory? Would you show us those places that need to be relinquished? The places where there's brokenness, where there's hurt, where there's bitterness or resentment or even self-pity. Lord, would you reveal those areas in us that we might confess them and that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness and that you would secure us in our hope. Lord, that's where the peace is. That's where fullness of joy is found. So we commit it to you today and thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for the richness of your word. And thank you for loving us with all of our weakness and mistakes. You keep drawing us towards yourself and not down the beach to a place that's foreign. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.